Hello, listeners. My name is Tini Ricciardi, and I'm a reporter with Guide Live. Among the many things I do here is cover The Bachelor and The Bachelorette reality TV series. You could call me a devout member of Bachelor Nation. And if you're also part of Bachelor Nation, you know that the season 13 finale of The Bachelorette, featuring our local lady Rachel Lindsay, is right around the corner. And that means it's time to place wagers on the winner. In the studio with me today to discuss all that and more is Mr. Steve Carbone, but you might know him as the one and only Reality Steve. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for anyone who doesn't know, Steve is the foremost authority when it comes to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. For almost a decade, he's been publishing spoilers about the two shows on his blog, realitysteve.com. Now, this season has really been something. I feel like every week the show or the cast is doing something unusual for the series. And the most obvious thing, perhaps, which we talked about last time you were with us, is that a person of color is the lead on the show. But beyond that, what are the biggest differences you've noticed between this season versus others?
Well, I think because we had a person of color as the lead, we had our first quote-unquote race war this season. There was a lot more race involved in some of the drama, which in the past it's usually just guys fighting about time with her or you said this or you said that. When in this season we had the whole Kenny and Lee thing, which really took up a lot of the men tell all as well. And it seemed a little unnecessary, and when you dig a little bit deeper into Lee, Lee has done a couple, I don't know if he did interviews, somebody got a hold of him and asked him how he was even on the show, and he said casting sent him an email on Facebook and said, hey, do you want to be on The Bachelorette? Like, he didn't even apply. Like, it's like they went out and got him, and it kind of adds to the storyline that this guy was just there to create chaos, and it just seems kind of ridiculous.
Wow. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
So do you think the discussions around race were, let's say, tasteful? Or you said a little bit unnecessary?
Yeah, I think unnecessary. It's just because now knowing that Lee didn't apply, like didn't, it's not like his sister sent an application. He got a call and said, yeah, I'll try this out. It's like they came after him. He had zero interest in ever going on the show. And his response, apparently, when they contacted him was like, why do you want me? I've never watched this show. So it just now seems to fit the narrative that he was just put on the show and told to incite things. And maybe it was hit, maybe they didn't mean for him to incite it racially, but he obviously did. And then the fact that they went after him, now knowing this, and then to see his tweets that were out there, it's, a lot of it just seems so staged and unnecessary, but it was almost like, well, we get something every season to carry us through the middle episodes. And it seemed like that took that was the thing that did it this year, and it just seemed a little unnecessary.
It was really disappointing for me personally because I thought Kenny was going all the way.
Yeah. It was – Kenny seems like a really great guy, and I think that he is one of the more likable guys this show has ever had, and you even saw it last week on the Men Tell All, where everybody was like, Lee, if you have an issue with Kenny, of all people, then and you obviously have an issue with yourself, because how do you not get along with Kenny? And he just seems like he comes across as a really great guy, and I don't really know how I felt about that whole thing. I felt about it one way until I found out that Lee was technically recruited for this show, and then it made me feel a completely different way.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you Lee's position maybe in the season was staged and unnecessary, what do you think about during the Men Tell All and sort of the, you know, the way I describe it is like The Bachelorette got kind of woke.
Yeah. I think that Lee had no choice. I didn't think he was coming because I thought – he's going to get – what happened to him is I thought what would happen to him. It was going to be a gang up on him, and it was. And I just thought he would bow out. I just thought he would just be like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I'm getting dragged through the mud. My old tweets are getting brought up. Like, I'm done. And then when I did find out he was there, I was like, okay, well, the fact that he's there, the only thing he better do is apologize. I don't care if he doesn't – well, I mean, I do care if he doesn't mean it because then it just makes him a phony. But for his sake – on national television, he better have said everything he did. Now, people will sit there and watch Last Monday and say, I don't believe a word this guy says. He's just saying it for TV, which is fine. We don't know. You can't say you know for sure that he was just making that up for TV. And we can't say that he absolutely was 100% sincere. We don't know. Only his actions post Men Tell All will determine whether or not he was telling the truth. But the fact that he did is a start, at least, because he had no other way to go. If he tried to double down on the stuff that he said on the show or defend his tweets, he would have looked even worse.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Now, one of the things that was a surprise this season is when Rachel got to meet some of her suitors before the season even started filming. And two of those men, Dean and Eric, made it to the top four. So do you think they had an advantage because of that?
It's tough because I've spoken to enough former contestants now to know that I think the two former leads of this show that I've spoken to on my podcast, Deanna and Ben Flanick, both said that they knew on the first night who their final four were. Absolutely, 100%, without a doubt. So,
like, because producers picked them, or because
feelings? They knew, but because of just. And I said that, I think I asked Ben this. I'm like, well, how did you know? Like, you have to have so many conversations that first night. He's like, it really no different than going out to a bar on a weekend night. You know who you're interested in. You know who tickles your fancy. You know who you are attracted to. And Ben said his final four was the four that he knew right away. And Deanna said the same thing. Like, I knew who my final four were on the very first night. Problem is, you still have to produce a show. You still have to go out on dates. You still have to seem interested in other people that – and Ben put it as we kind of – he goes, it's not that I didn't – he goes, you kind of just go through it thinking that maybe someone will surprise you and maybe sneak in there and replace somebody, and maybe someone you had initial attraction to kind of faded. But he goes, the ones that I ended up being my final four were the ones that I knew on the first night. So when I see that Eric and Dean did get that early meeting, there's probably a part of – the show that maybe knew that Rachel would be into them, because the other two we got were Blake and DeMario, and neither of them lasted two episodes. So it's almost like let's throw a couple guys in here that we know won't last and a couple guys that we know will go pretty far. We don't know about Final Four yet, but I'm sure they had an idea that Dean and Eric would go far. I don't know about Final Four far, but far.
Okay, cool. So also, prior to this season airing, Rachel told reporters that she was, in fact, engaged. So why do you think that, and that, to me, I've never heard that. So why do you think that the producers are letting tidbits like that slip this season?
Yeah, it's happened before. It's very rare, but they have done it before. It's not completely unheard of. I believe Jason Mesnick was allowed to say it at the beginning of his season. But in recent seasons, no. It's been just, well, you got to watch and you got to see what happens.
Like there's a question about it?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like 18 of the last 19 seasons have ended up in an engagement. So it's not a big, maybe that's why they realize, like, look, I think people know now the show ends in an engagement. There's really no reason to hide it. There's also a part of me that thinks, and this is just me being the critic of the show and the number one public enemy of this show, is the fact that the day before Rachel made her media rounds is when I announced my spoiler of who she picked, which ended up being wrong. So maybe there was a part of me, there's a part of me that thinks that they let her go on that tour knowing the day before Reality Steve had given out the winner. They knew who the winner was. They knew who I had given out as the winner, and they knew it was wrong. So maybe they were just letting her do that in hopes that over the next 3 months that I wouldn't eventually get the right the correct winner. I did. It was fixed about 3 weeks after that. But there's a part of me that thinks that maybe they let her go with it because I had released the wrong winner, and it was their way of like their way of saying, well, God, to themselves, like, well, let's hope he doesn't change it, because come the finale, everyone's going to be surprised, because a lot of it's going to make the rounds. People are going to hear about it on social media. And then when she does pick the person that's opposite of the one that he just gave out, we'll get our surprise. There's a part of me that thinks it could have been that. I don't know for sure, and I don't think I'll ever get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well, we'll talk about the winners and the losers here in a minute, but yeah. We have to talk about Rachel's hometown because there was chatter online about the house that she brought the men to. So Rachel was raised in Oak Cliff and has told me earlier this year that her family still lives in her childhood home. But apparently that's not the one that was featured on the show?
No. They went to a house that was on the market in Highland Park.
Well, how did you find this out? I got text messages from people who went to college with me at SMU saying, where does Rachel live?
Yeah, it was, how did I find out? I found out that day. Somebody was walking across the street, sent me a picture of the day that Peter was visiting. And they told me it was Highland Park, and I think they said they knew I can't remember. All I know is they gave me the address of the house, and it was in Highland Park, and it was being used. And then I knew that, her dad being a federal judge, they would never show her home, and they would never show him. Mm-hmm. Even though her dad, she has said in interviews and in her blog for People.com that her dad was at all three of those hometowns. He was just off camera mm-hmm. and spoke to all three guys. Just being a federal judge, he wasn't allowed to be on TV. And I know in the past they've definitely used homes that weren't of the parents, and this was just another instance. So it definitely happens more frequently than people think.
Do we know if that house is now sold?
Yeah, good question. I get if I still have that email, I could probably go back because I had the address of the house. All I would have to do a search, but I never went back and looked. But it was like it was in Highland Park, and it was like 7 or 8,000 square feet, and I want to say it was on the market for like 3 or 3.5 million, something like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a really nice. It's just funny that they played up, and you know the day Peter had that, because Peter went first, and then Eric, and then Brian. They did it on three consecutive days after they had the roast ceremony at the Hilton Anatole. Mm-hmm. The day it happened, I was tweeting it out, and so it's been out there for 2-3 months now. Whenever this would have been end of April was when they did those hometowns, and here we are in August. So, yeah, for 3 months, it's been out there. I mentioned it throughout the course of the season. But the show, that's just part of the television aspect of this show, is that they just kind of overlook the fact. They don't mention that these homes really aren't the homes of some of these people. And, it's just the television side of things. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, no, that wasn't her house.
Yeah, a lot of people were kind of shocked that Rachel's dad didn't make an appearance because last season on The Bachelor, it was like, he couldn't be there. And that was sort of an excuse, I think.
And I think she said the same exact thing this year. Oh, he couldn't make it, but he was. And she's admitted it since that episode aired, she admitted it. And I don't know. The thing is, it's like we know he's a federal judge. She's talked about it numerous times. I don't know why she just doesn't say that he's a judge and he can't be on TV. I don't know. If she's going to admit it after the fact, why not? I know one of the reasons they might have done it is because, remember the scene where Brian was at where Brian was at dinner with them and they were firing off questions at him. They were a little bit uncomfortable, and all of a sudden you see a clip of him saying, can I get up? Can I excuse myself? She even said, again, on Twitter, he excused himself to go talk to my dad. But the show made it seem like he excused himself because he was uncomfortable with the questioning. So
yeah.
That's where the TV aspect comes in and plays. So they're showing you something that absolutely 100% did not happen. They want to make you think that there was a really big headbutting or a rift between Brian and her family. And I'm sure the questions were a little bit hard, but he didn't get up and excuse himself because he didn't like the questioning.
Gotcha. Now, I also think this is interesting because this is not the first time that Rachel has tweeted, hey, that's not what I meant. The editing portrayed it, misleadingly.
Yeah.
Like when she was talking to Peter and she says, I consider engagement is not necessarily a marriage. It's a want to get to know you more. And she tweeted out after that, that's not what I said at all.
Yeah.
Is that uncommon?
Oh, no. That happens all the time. No,
okay.
No. They will splice any conversation that you have into making the audience think it's something other than what it actually was.
But I mean like the stars sort of retracting their statements from television.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to really think back. I know that they have said stuff here and there. Maybe it was Rachel. Maybe Rachel was a little more specific when she said that's not what I was talking about, or and maybe she came across as a little bit bothered by it or upset. But I know other people in the past have said that, and leads as well, that have said that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. Here's what it is. And sometimes they do it in their people blog, because all the leads write a blog for people.com that gets released Tuesday morning. And if you read that every week, they sometimes will cover stuff that was either never shown or stuff that was shown that was like, well, wait a second, this is actually what the conversation really happened. And yeah, I've definitely seen that happen before. She took to Twitter to do it. Can't really say I remember that happening, but it has happened where they have retracted things.
Gotcha. So in another sort of twist, Rachel's season finale, which airs on August 7th, and there are still three men left in the running.
Yeah.
So we've got Eric, the guy who is now experiencing love for the first time. Peter, the Midwesterner, who's possibly not ready to propose.
Yeah.
And then Brian, who is like this season's playboy that, you know, I just am not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
So what do you make of the fact that there are still top three going into the finale?
Yeah, I think it is being done this way because they had to change up with the parent thing. Because usually when you get down to the final three go on overnight dates. They get down to the final two, and then the final two meet the family. But because her sister was pregnant and couldn't travel to Switzerland, they had to do that. And so that extended that episode to where it normally wouldn't have been extended. So when we pick up in the finale, we still have to finish up where she was with Peter. We haven't even seen Brian's overnight date.
Right.
Then she's got to have a rose ceremony, and then she's got to have a final date with her final two guys and then make her decision. So it'll definitely fill the 2 hours.
Gotcha. So she's not choosing one from three.
No.
Okay.
She's going to have a rose ceremony for the final three where she eliminates one, and then it goes down to the final two. And normally the final two would have, they would each meet the family, and then they would each have a separate date. Well, they've already all met the family. So that just means that's why they had to extend out. That's why we'll have to start the episode with what happens with Peter, and then she has to have her overnight date with Brian, and that basically will take up the time it would have been dedicated to the final two guys meeting the parents in the finale.
Gotcha. Okay, so we have three left. Mm-hmm. The final two are Peter and Brian?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm close. So who did you originally say was the winner?
Peter.
So it is Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was weird because when I got the information that it was Peter, sometimes I can't question what it is, because these people that give me the information, you know more than I do. But when I got Peter, I was definitely questioning it, but I couldn't question it enough to not run with it. But there was always questions in my mind. This is before the season even started, because I released it on May 16th. Her season started May 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
The more I thought about it, the more I started seeing and hearing things behind the scenes, I was questioning Peter. But I had nothing to base it off of other than my gut. And when I got the information that it was Brian, and I released that on June 6th, I was way more secure. And they were way more secure. And, you know, I can't get into the details of why they initially told me Peter or what it was. It wasn't some sort of misdirection or anything like that. Because the same person that told me Peter was the same, like, they were the ones that said, look, you know, sorry, I had misinformation, got it wrong. Here's the actual winner. So it wasn't like someone else came to me and said, hey, whoever told you that Peter thing was wrong. It was the same person who told me it was Peter that came back 3 weeks later and said, made a mistake. It's Brian. I apologize. There's nothing else I can do. And, you know, my biggest thing is, yeah, I don't like to be wrong, but as long as I corrected it in time, I'm fine with it. It's been out there for 2 months. Every column I've written in the last 2 months has referenced the fact that she's with Brian. So it's out there. It's people know. I mean, there will be some people that come on the finale when she picks Brian, will email me or tweet at me saying, like, I thought you said it was Peter. Like, they probably haven't read my site since May 16th, which is, I get it, but it's like, I don't know what to tell you. It's been out there for 2 months.
Sure,
and
sure.
I've been beating people over the head with it. but yeah, no, she's definitely 100%. Like, I'm not even the least bit concerned that maybe it is Peter. No, it's Brian.
Well, I know a lot of people who are going to be disappointed by her decision. But let's talk next Bachelor then. Is Peter the next Bachelor?
He's certainly in the running, and he's certainly the front runner. I know that they want him. I know he's met with them about it. The thing is, as we're getting to the next lead, it's just become such this game between the show and releasing it. I remember sitting with you here last year and telling you that it was going to be Luke. And come to find out that Luke had signed a contract. He had a plane ticket the next morning to fly out to be announced on After Paradise as the next Bachelor. And they called him the night before and said, we're going in another direction. So for me now, it's tough for me to say yes 100%, because even if I found out Peter signed a contract, the contract doesn't mean anything anymore, because not only did Luke sign a contract last year, but so did Chase. So they both had those guys believing that they were it, and that's their thing now, is they get more than one people believing that they're it, so it doesn't get spoiled.
That's like the only way they can
have a surprise. Yeah, it's the only way they can do it. It has a surprise now, because on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, it's like it's taped in advance. There's nothing they can do to change it. The Bachelor announcement, they can hold until the very last second that they bring somebody out on stage or make the announcement. So I know they've spoken to Peter. Peter checks off every box to be a Bachelor. I mean, he's got the look, obviously.
Adorable. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He's got the look. He's got a fan base that wants to see him find love.
He's older, too, yeah. Like Rachel.
He's got the storyline of, you know, his big thing is, I don't want to propose, and that's going to be the ultimate death of him on Rachel's season, is that she wants a proposal, and he's not going to give it to her. So then the question will be, if and when Peter becomes the next Bachelor, is why are they making him the Bachelor? He just said he can't propose in short notice. So that's going to be their storyline, is he's going to, this is how I see it playing out, assuming Peter is the Bachelor. He's going to be that guy when he is doing his preseason interviews, and when he does get announced and he comes out there and talks to Chris Harrison, he's still going to say, you know, yes, that's what I went through, but I realized that if I do open myself up to this process, I do see myself proposing at the end. I mean, I can see that.
I'm going to write that down and like check it verbatim. So a lot of people are also hoping Dean, but we know that Dean has already been on Bachelor in Paradise. Does that exclude him from being considered?
I wouldn't say excludes him, just because Nick was Bachelor in Paradise last year. And not only did Nick get the gig, they announced Nick as the Bachelor while he was technically still in a relationship with Jen going into the final episode. And, you know,
this year has been so weird.
Yeah. So they're definitely changing things up just to keep people, I guess, on their toes. Does it exclude Dean? No. But knowing what I know Dean off screen, it's not going to be him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about Eric? Because he was in the top four, and that would sort of put them in a position to continue being diverse.
Yeah. It would be, he would be a candidate, sure, because he made top four. I just don't see it with him, because I don't think they're going to put somebody in that role that is so inexperienced. The guy has self-admittedly never been in love, and I don't believe he was ever in love with Rachel. I think he was trying to convince himself he was. And you kind of have to say that on this show to then propose at the end. But I just don't see Eric. He's too inexperienced. I don't see it.
All right. Well, let's dig into Brian for a minute.
Yeah.
Why do you think he wins? Is it the chemistry?
I think that, I mean, when you look back on it now, knowing that Brian is the winner, I mean, from the very first episode, it was clearly obvious she was into him. She gave him the first impression rose. He was the only guy that she made out with twice on the first night. Every time they've been together.
So cringy.
Yeah.
I like, every time they kiss, I'm afraid he's going to swallow her.
Yeah, I know. That's the biggest thing with Brian he's gotten all season, is he has he has to work on his kissing skills. I think that, I mean, it doesn't seem far-fetched knowing the way they've been all season. Like, they've been all over each other all season. Now, will it work post-show? You know, who knows? It's up in the air. You know, the relationship doesn't start until basically next Monday, when they can actually be a public couple. Because even the last 3 months, they've had to have their private meetings and stuff like that, and they haven't been able to just be a normal couple and do normal things. That'll all start after the finale airs, and we'll see. It's just, we don't know. I don't know what her future holds in terms of what she wants to do. If she wants to get, like, you know, a lot of people quit their jobs or want to get into entertainment. I don't know what Rachel wants to do. I thought she wanted to stay in law and stay here in Dallas, but who knows? I mean, maybe they've obviously been talking the last 3 months of what's going to happen with their relationship, and we'll find out when the finale airs, when they sit there on the couch. I'm sure they're going to tell everybody, yeah, this is what we plan on doing from this point forward. But and she has said in interviews she can't wait to share this secret that she's had to keep for 3 months, and she's excited and she's in love. I mean, she's certainly she's gung-ho right now, but she's in the she's still in the honeymoon phase. We've all been in the honeymoon phase. She's in it. All these couples are in it when the After the Final Rose rolls around, and you have to, it's baby steps. Let's wait and see what happens.
Awesome. Well, we definitely here in Dallas are polling for you, Rachel, if you're listening to this. The season finale of The Bachelorette airs on August 7th. It'll kick off at 7 p.m. Central Time. Be sure to tune in.